Welcome back, everybody.
Show number.
The numbers.
935, I think. God, six. I don't know.
That's a lot.
You know what last week's guest was?
Adam?
No. That was last week.
Oh, was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
No.
The football player.
Oh, yeah.
Femi or the other?
Come on. Damn.
Brandon?
No. That's the foundation.
Do I gotta look it up?
Reggie.
Reggie was awesome.
Reggie was good.
Wow.
I had a good time.
No, Reggie was awesome.
What's Reggie's last name?
Stevens.
Yeah, Reggie Stevens. Yeah, and the Reggie Stevens Foundation is a gigantic part of our community.
Yeah.
That was a
and it was really cool.
Right?
You know what? You know what blew me away about Reggie Stevens is that he pretty much donates his time to help these kids.
Yeah,
to help these kids.
Yeah.
Be better athletes, be better students, and to learn how to sell themselves to colleges. And it was such a refreshing thing to see that.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the success he's had.
Yeah.
It was cool. So that if you want to watch that or go to the podcast, you can see that on Santa Cruz Waves if you scroll down the page.
And the week before that,
it
was a show where
we had some technical difficulties. It was called Tequila. And we had Adam on the show, but we decided that we were going to do a rerun, and here we are tonight, which is awesome. So show number 930, what?
You put that very mildly, TC. Very mildly.
Well, you know, we broke some stuff.
Yeah.
We had a good time. Jimbo was here.
Jim Phillips
was Jimbo definitely threw some gasoline on the fire. And
Eastside Eatery definitely contributed a little. We'll give Derek a
There's a lot of people involved.
Honestly, you know what it felt like? It felt like it was a punk rock show, but there was only four of us. It literally felt like a 90s punk rock show, but there was no band. There was just the four of us. It turned into a pretty wild night, which we can't share with you, unfortunately. The truth is, I called Neil about an hour after the show, and I was like, dude, you got to pull that thing off the air.
2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. Neil, text me. You got to pull that shit down. I go, was it that bad? Because I don't remember.
We're starting over.
I look at the first 15 seconds ago, you're right. You're going to pull that shit off.
Well, Adam, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
We've had you on the show. I think it's probably like four or five. I've been here
with a couple other people before. We've done it down in the radio station a couple times.
We were here with VC.
We did the Point Break Live Point thing. That was really fun.
And you were here with Marcel.
Yeah, Marcel, piece of work. You know? And I'm sure everyone's really happy to have him back in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Is he back?
Well, I mean, he's larger than life. He might live over the hill, but you think he's here. He's like Beetlejuice. One more time, he says his name.
Last year, was over the ranch. He was all happily living in Los Gatos.
Yeah, he's got
all the Sereno.
Yeah.
Hey. Fuck Santa Cruz. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he rented the beach house.
Yeah. He's not here until he's out there, and then he's all here.
You'll hear about it too. Well, welcome back, Adam.
Thanks, DC. Glad to be back, man.
So, just to fill in everybody on the who's watching, Adam, you are a local, born and raised in Capitola, right?
Yeah, raised
in Capitola. You started surfing young. You worked your way up through the amateur ranks. You had the sponsors. Yeah. You had the trips. Yeah. You had the trophies.
Yeah.
You did it all,
and then got the steep backside the cliff to it on the end of it.
Well, I mean, I know the ride up there is amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You're traveling. Your checks are coming in.
You were good to all the people on the way up.
Oh yeah. Look, I had a great time. You know. And I wouldn't have wanted to do anything other than what I was doing, you know, at the time. But in hindsight, yeah, I probably could have diversified a little more and not been so strapped into my life in surfing, you know, because your degree in surfing doesn't mean anything else outside of surfing. So
true.
Trying to, you know, as you get older, you go, gosh, you know, I was all in on this. But, you know, I see some of my friends now. Like Sean Burns, for an example, a guy shreds here, local ripper, but works at O'Neill's, got a degree, went to San Luis Obispo, you know, got a degree in school, and look, now he could win the contest and run the business and run the show. So,
when you say that, you say like I would have done some things differently with your surfing career.
Well, no, I think I would have taken some of the opportunities given to me had I been able to do that again, you know. Mm-hmm. There's some opportunities that I had that I really didn't take seriously at the time.
Opportunities as far as business or
business, like working for Novak, a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, I ran a surf magazine before. I tried to make a surfboard company. You know, I've had a lot of failures, but obviously without those, I wouldn't be where I am today. Not that I'm doing really well. You right. know, I'm still sort of struggling. But my point is that I would have liked to have had, you know, stayed around some of these guys longer to get a good degree from them. You know,
right? Because I mean,
that's all it is. My degree in school was I didn't have it. You know, but you hang around Richard Novak or Pat O'Neill or Randy French long enough, you're gonna get some really good, you know, information.
Yeah. And I get that. Because I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you and I ran in the close to being the same age.
Yeah.
And we ran in the same circles, and we pretty much had the same people in our lives, and that was my I mean, I went to college.
Right.
But my education was working for the people like you talk about.
Yeah.
And then listening.
You go street location education.
It's kind of like the school of hard knocks. You know, it's you learn an industry, and then you work your way up through the industry. Nowadays a lot of pro surfers are coaches like Galley and people, you know, they move on.
Yep.
Let me ask you, from when you grew up as a kid and through the years, what's different between now and for a kid? What could you say to a kid now trying to go through the ranks of being a professional?
Well, I don't think there's much opportunity now.
As a professional surfer?
As a professional surfer, you know, it seems like to be a professional surfer, a professional surfer to me now is a competitive surfer who's pursuing competition. But there's other avenues to be a surfer, you know. You have your own YouTube page. You could do your own blogs or whatever. But unfortunately, like the structure that was there with the sponsors and the support is just not there anymore. Right. So you've noticed that a lot of the events are a lot smaller now. There's very few people that are surfing the events. That ebbs and flows and comes and goes. You'll see it goes down around recessions and goes up at the nice times, just like anything else. As soon as there's more money into it.
Well, if you look at our town. I think our number one professional surfer would be Nat Young.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's really not have the sponsor support.
No, he has no sponsors.
Is Nat kind of on the back nine of his career?
You would say that, but look, Nat is a gamer, and he could have his day in the sun and be playing the game as good as anybody tomorrow. So we'll see what, you know, but only time will tell. Obviously, when he had his year on the tour in his sophomore year, his freshman and sophomore year, he killed it. He did so good that it would be really hard to come back from that, right?
Right.
So usually you have what they call a sophomore slump. Nat was ended up in the top 5 or 10 of the world this sophomore year, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, he's the.
And how's he doing on the Challenger tour right now? I haven't.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's. You know, if he was killing it, he'd be on tour.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he's. You know, he's got family and baby and. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously taking on the next phase, and that's just it. You know, that's where anybody comes to that point in their career. You know, where you're going. Okay, look, I have to. I have my hell to pay to the real world for being a surfer for so long. You know. Mm-hmm. I think Nat's done pretty good with some investments and some homes, and so lucky for him there, or good for him there. But the degree I would have really liked to have is like a business degree, you know, and to be able to go, okay, look, outside of surfing, I have this degree. You can't take that away from me. I can take that anywhere, any industry, and you know, I always tripped out on guys like Tinkus. You know, he was running O'Neill's years ago, and then boom, he was running a company. It was like, wow, what's Element?
Element,
you know, I'm like, wow, that's right. He's over there at Element, and then now he's
bikini company, and he's back at O'Neill again, right?
Yeah, exactly. And and or some people that could just go out and do a whole nother industry outside the market, you know. And so that's like I'm studying real estate right now, and that's sort of what's been challenging me, and that's where
And you've been tinkering with real estate for a long time.
Dude, I went into it one time almost full guns and said, hey, look, I'm gonna do this, and then I failed miserably. You know, I couldn't get through the program, I didn't get through the testing. This time with my fiance, she's been able to you know, keep me on the books, keep me on the program, study every day, do my tests, do my CompuCrams, and just really try to focus on what they're trying to teach me. Because I want to challenge myself, you know, I want to do something different.
And is it hard to study when it's head high and offshore?
I missed a lot of surf this winter studying. I told myself I'd say yes more to things, you know, and yes to more things other than surfing, you know.
Right.
If you asked me tomorrow, told me, hey, look, let's go to Yosemite next week, and there's a south swell, I'm probably going to say, yeah, let's go. Dude. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Yosemite. You know, I've got enough south swells.
And let's catch up on your physical, because your physical nature right now, because you had hip replacements.
Yeah, double hip.
Double hip replacements, which is a extreme operation.
Pretty invasive, yeah.
But one hip didn't do so well, right? Is that one's better?
Well, one's better than the other, but they both work well. Mm-hmm. I have some atrophy. I have a muscle that doesn't, you know, fire. But look, I'm not.
You're back.
I'm back. I'm not in pain anymore. I can mm-hmm. I can do burpees and I can plank and do everything that I want to do.
And they're doing those hip replacements like that.
No, they knock them out.
Going through McDonald's, you know, it's
right
in
right.
and out.
Would you suggest that to people that have bad hips?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would do what Neil Kearney did, where he did them both at the same time, two mm-hmm. at once. But yeah, I think people that are prolonging it and think that they can like do pain management, they probably would be presently surprised how good it feels and how the epiphany they'd have. Like, I should have done this earlier.
Did it get so bad you couldn't surf?
Yeah, with your hips? Couldn't sleep, couldn't have sex, couldn't do nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. You want to break a man down? Take away sex and sleep.
Yeah. Kill you.
Yeah. Quicker.
I'm going to ask you this question. With the popularity of surfing right now, why is the professional rank, this professional interest growing along with it?
I don't know why that is. And I don't know why, if you go by the ocean tonight, there's thousands of people surfing.
Yeah.
And my surf shop is struggling.
Yeah. They all are.
Yeah, and so I don't know where the disconnect is. I know that a lot of people are shopping on the computer. Yeah. I'm guilty of it too. You know, there's an Amazon box probably in my house right now. But I think people have found different avenues.
Yeah.
And there's so many different places to purchase surf goods now.
Yeah.
And with the influx of product after COVID, you know, everyone just bulked up. There's so much surfboards. Mm-hmm. There's so much clothing that it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's a gray market now. And, you know, the stuff could be in Costco tomorrow.
You know, it's really trippy because growing up, you rode a local surfboard.
Oh, yeah.
You had a local surfboard shaper.
Yeah.
And if you didn't ride a local surfboard, you were an outsider, you know, or you were sponsored by somebody. But I remember when somebody rolled into town and they were riding a Southern California board. And
I smell that right away around here, dude. Yeah. I smell it like when someone's burning weed that's not from here, I know right away.
I'm like,
that's out of town weed, bro. That's not Wave Rider Nursery. You didn't go to Santa Cruz to get that. You know what I mean? Like,
that affects surf shops.
That affects everybody.
Yeah. You had
one out of 10 boards. Maybe one out of 20 boards.
Well, growing up and working at Freeline, we had our customers.
Yes.
They were loyal. Customers, they would buy all their equipment from there.
You see John, you buy
and it was high fives and surf stories, and it was about the local pride. And it seems like that's kind of gone. But you know, I've talked to the surf shop owners, and Adam, you and I have talked about this. The industry is struggling right now.
Yeah,
but I don't get it because, like you said, there's 14,000 people down the street surfing. Yeah.
I know, but you know the. Our Zen master, Jerry Lopez, decided to make entry-level boards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right there in itself sort of slowed down the consumer buying,
right?
You know,
the Costco of Jerry Lopez.
Costco is the largest surfboard manufacturer in the world.
Do you know who that is? You know, say, hey, do you know who Jerry Lopez is? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and congrats to Jerry because he's making
more power to
Yeah, he's making
team,
a lot of money, and he deserves that.
Well, I mean, but
I bet he must have sat on that couch and thought about that decision for a while. Should I do it?
Oh, you know what? For about 5 seconds.
You think so?
5 seconds. He saw zeros and he went, you know what? This might be the biggest, you know, investment I've ever.
If we were to talk to Randy French, the founder of Surf Tech, he worked with a bunch of different shapers. You know, he was one of the first ones to have a license branded where Robert August was one of his big guys. Robert August loved cashing those checks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. You know, and so a guy like Lopez loves to cash those checks.
Yeah. And just hearing like his struggles with like Lightning Bolt during their heyday, and now he's able to cash out. I'm stoked for Jerry Lopez, you know. But it's just unfortunate when you see the majority of people are riding that board, you know, and then there's, you know, the mom and pop.
It's cheap.
Well, no, believe it. I have two of them. You know, I have two. You want to come borrow one? I'll let you one. You know, it's $150. I sell a BZ 8-footer. For $400, you know, in my shop. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and I'm a mom. I got two kids. You know, I'm economical. I'm like, that's not a good deal. That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I think this new surfer is looking at. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you always rode very high performance surfboards.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like
a lot of Colettas.
A lot of Colettas. Yeah, Colettas, John Carpers, Marriotts, all of them. Yeah.
Who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Well, right now I'm riding Pizels. I wrote a lot of Pizels. I'm riding some Channel Islands. I like Britt Merrick's boards. If I see somebody ripping and doing the type of surfing I like, I try to get on that board. And then just fluff it up for a guy who's 53 and gotten your hits.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned Britt Merrick, and I got to say, I give that guy a lot of credit. He's at every contest.
Oh, yeah, the guy's getting around.
Yeah, he's really into it.
Yeah.
And
it looks like it's a writer-owned brand now.
It does, yeah.
It looks like a writer-owned brand, so a lot of those guys have an invested interest in the company, and they all shred, and yeah, it's killer.
It's really fun to see. We're talking about Channel Islands for those who are tuning in. So you are, you're in your 50s now.
Yeah, I'm in my 50s.
You were the kid.
That's why I'm pivoting into real estate.
Yeah, it's time, right?
Yeah, I've been hanging with Alistair Kraft and just really sort of sharpening and my my tongue just getting slurpy.
So are you going to, and Alistair...
Describe the word slurping. Well, I mean,
you have to have a somewhat of a small gift for the gab, right, yeah, in this business.
That.
Well, I mean, to a degree, but you got to get the right verbiage when you're in real estate. You know, you have to know the right, you got to have the right terminology. So that's what I've been working on.
You're the most stoked person that anybody could work to talk to.
I mean, I'm not stoked at home, but I put on a pretty good front out here.
Well, and I mean, a successful real estate person is based on their network.
Yeah.
And you probably have a network in this town that is comparable to anybody. Based on your years of experience.
That's why I asked Alistair. He works for Christie's Sereno. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you know, it's those are brands not from town. You know, do I need to go work for, like, you know, David Lang or, and he's like, you know, go check them all out. You know, I thought that was pretty cool because he just said, hey, this is, and he's been mentoring me. And I realized that's what I need more than anything. I need a mentor. I need somebody that I can work with, someone I can partner with.
Yeah.
And,
someone who knows the business.
Yeah, who knows the business and that has my best interest at heart, you know.
How far are you from being an agent?
I take my test this end of this May. End of May.
Are you nervous about that test?
Totally nervous. I've already considered I'm already failed it in my own mind. I'm already, I'm neurotic about it. I've already thought, okay, I failed it. I'm already thinking I'm going to take it the second time because my comprehension, when I take the test, I'm about 65, 70%. That's barely passing, right? At the second time, I'm at 95%. So there's that. So if I don't pass it the first time, I'll pass it the second time.
Yeah.
Right. If not that, the third time, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, earlier we were talking about friends we grew up with that are almost homeless now.
Yeah.
But you were pretty, you're talking about, you know, Nat Young getting his stake in the ground. You did that.
Yeah, yeah. I got a house pretty early.
Yeah, you got a house pretty early.
Yeah.
And you got to feel pretty good because you can stay in this community that you were raised in.
And that's, I know. That's amazing, really. I mean, I shouldn't be able to, I work at a surf shop. I shouldn't be able to afford where I live in the neighborhood I live in. But I've had a house for 20 years, so I'm pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, totally. I mean, I see a lot of friends of mine, man, that are, they're not drinking beers because they're happy right now. You know what I mean? They're drinking beers because they don't have a place to go. Their house is gone, and there goes the fucking neighborhood too. You know, like every place they had to rent is now $3,000-$4,000. They can't afford to live here. So I feel lucky in that sense, and that's why, you know, I do help out a couple local guys too. You know,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And make sure that you
there's
know
some couch surfing going on at your house,
and there's space that gets consumed that you know local people can live in my house. I'm stoked. You know, and I'm what you be able to provide.
That's kind of you.
Well, it's so different because when you were like, I met you when you were about 8 years old, probably, and on 36th Avenue, we had a great commune of surfers there. Mark Goen, Mark Dinkus, Mark Machado,
Hank Baker,
at our place, Brett Rose. Rose. Yeah, we had some great people.
Yeah.
But these were all people that were paying like $350 a month.
Yeah.
You know, like
Brett Rose was doing it on tips. He could pay his rent on tips.
Right. And it was so different. And you drive through Pleasure Point now. There's no kids renting houses in Pleasure Point.
No.
Yeah, it's so different.
There's not a four pack of bros.
No.
Like, oh, we got this stag house over on 34th.
Yeah, no, and we were having raging parties. Like, my mom was terrified I lived in the surf ghetto.
Yeah.
She was hey, hon. Yeah, she goes, I don't know if this is safe. I'm like, I don't care. I love it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so different.
I really liked there was Gordon, there was Bobby, the he-she.
It
was like, they had so many different characters up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be yourself. You could be Acid Dan with a parrot on your shoulder and just walk down the neighborhood and people are like, there's Dan.
Right.
You know?
It was very different.
Very,
very there wasn't $100,000 cars in every driveway. There was $500 cars in every driveway. It was a totally different
But you know what?
But the people who are out there now don't get that.
Look, nowadays, I like that. You know, I go down there. It does suck because I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But my daughter can walk down the street and not get accosted.
Right.
You know?
Right.
My mom and my grandmother can walk to Pleasure Point and not see something terrible or hear something outrageous.
Yeah.
You know? So that, the gentrification or whatever it's been, you know, it's like, It does suck, but there's positives to it as well, you know.
Well, and congratulations for getting your house. It's beautiful. You're in a, you're two blocks from the beach. And,
yeah, lucky.
And I feel the same way, you know. It's, you know, I work hard. Yeah. I always had this theory, maybe you can agree. There was a time in Pleasure Point that there was a lot of colorful people at the guardrail.
Yeah, yeah.
At First Peak.
That's well, that's nice
and,
you said.
And there was kind of two factions. There was the faction that looked at the ocean and were stoked on people catching good waves.
Yeah.
And then there was the faction that looked at this and bird dogged everybody with a tall boy. Those guys don't have houses.
No, right. They don't.
Yeah, the guys that looked this way,
a couple of them pulled it,
you know, yeah. And they're still here. And it's a really unique analogy, yeah. And probably every surf spot in California would be the same way.
I would think so. I think every coastal community that was, you know, had surfers living it in the 70s and 80s, that once the 90s came in and the 2000s, yeah, it was next level. And if you weren't prepared for the storm, you weren't a part of it, you know.
Yeah.
We're lucky to be a part of the upside here. Like I watched, you know, the price of homes go up and I'm like, God, that sucks if you don't have one, because you're never get in here.
No.
You're never going to buy a house here, you know. And that's why I want to have small kind of generational wealth to hand my kids something or kids something, you know, so they got a place to go. It's not like sell it, move to Fresno, you know.
Right. Well, I was listening to a radio show today and this guy was complaining about the cost of houses and how no one can buy a house. And I immediately thought about all of the people that are going to inherit these houses.
Yeah.
Because it's all generational wealth, right? So even though houses aren't affordable, the kids of these people are going to be very successful based on their real estate holdings.
Yeah.
I flew home from Oregon.
In a trust, yeah.
Yeah, I flew home from Oregon last night, and the guy next to me is moving to the Philippines. His mom and dad died. The house he grew up in the middle of eastern Oregon, he sold it, and he's moving to the Philippines. I go, what did you sell it for? I got $148,000 for it. That's what he told me.
He's all stoked. Yeah,
totally stoked. He's moving to the Philippines, $280 a month for his apartment he's going to move. But I was like, $148,000 for a house. So there are places that you can do that.
Yeah.
You had that amount of equity this last year in your house.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, like, my neighbor just built a mega McMansion next door. My house went up $100,000.
He did, huh?
Yeah. They built this giant glass
block. I'm glad I'm your neighbor, because mine went up too.
Yeah, we all did, yeah.
I know.
And by the way, everybody, we are neighbors, which is awesome.
But that's why I feel for my friends who don't have a piece of the pie here, because I know that what they're feeling is fucking not good, you know?
Yeah. As far as the surf culture goes, what do you see the future happening with surf? Have you put much thought into what, like, 10 years, what are surfing?
Yeah, I thought about it a little bit, you know? The way that these pools are coming up, too, all around the globe and inland areas, the surf culture. And the biggest upside of surfing is going to be these new areas, these new hubs like Waco, wherever they are. That's where these surf brands are going to find their biggest upside. So it might be a nice injection for surf, but we're going to start seeing all these other brands come into places, because it is Texas. It is Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. It is Arizona. In the middle of Japan, Arizona. Mm-hmm. You know, like what is their style and culture there? You know, like...
It's like North Shore all over again.
Totally.
The movie.
Like, we're going to go someplace and it's going to be cowboy hats and they're going to have pink shirts on and this is going to be their surf culture.
Yeah.
At the beach.
They're playing the Beach Boys.
Well, you know, I just saw footage of that new Kelly Slater park in Dubai.
All time.
It is insane, Neil.
Insane.
It's a way longer wave than the ranch.
I know.
And it's bigger.
Long.
Yeah, it's bigger and it's longer. It's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at Palm Springs, you look at what Fig's doing in Arizona. There's the wave pool thing is really picking up.
I know. I was talking to Shane Beshin in Hawaii, who's telling me he's got his fingers in a couple of those pools. One's in Arizona, I think, by where Michelle, as you know, lives. But the other was the way that these flow riders are and these flow waves, these just singular waves. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just opening up for the crossover between all of these sports now, where strapped in snowboarder, skateboarder, surfer, wake surfing, wakeboarding. Now it's all all coming together, and you're seeing like a 12-year-old girl from China doing flips.
Yeah, ripping
and surfing in a pool. Never, can't catch a wave very well with her arms, but... She's got the rotation down, you know, and she's a gold medalist, you know. So,
well, that's where surfing's going.
It's
going
to be gymnast on the water.
Well, and like
surfing's going abstract.
That is it's so structured, you know. You look at skateboarding, you can ride the same bowl over and over again. You look at, you know, snowboarding, you can ride the same half pipe over and over again. Surfing's really hard because you have to catch the waves.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is that the people are training on the same wave over and over and over again now.
Yeah, repetitively, and they're getting really good.
Did you've been to the surf ranch?
Yeah, I've been there like three times. Yeah, I mean, I don't like it for 50 grand a day.
Right.
You know, the day that we could all go there and we spend, like, say the whole day would be 5 grand for 20 of us, and we're having beers and burritos and surfing, and you don't, like, feel like $500 away.
Yeah. You're like, right.
Oh, my God, there's a new surfboard every wave.
So if you fall, you're just so
you're just like, was that a good one? Was it a good one?
The video's in there, dude. We got you.
It's the most nerve-wracking thing. 5, 4,
yeah.
CT3.
You're like, boop, 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 boop. You're like 40 guys lined up. You're back in a cold water heat. You bring your lady there to watch you surf. Like, whoa. This is like,
no pressure. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, I mean, I want to go to a place like Waco where it is, you get 100 waves. You pay a couple hundred bucks, you know.
Right. It's like a lift ticket.
Yeah.
You go see the Branch Davidian while you're out there, see David Koresh's place. And well, might as well.
That's Waco, of all places.
Of all places, Waco. That's it. Well, I see surfing going in another direction because it's tapped out in the area in which it is, you know.
Right.
I think different formats of surfing are going to happen, different formats of surfing. Like, I like them. It was a surf and turf where they did snowboarding, surfing. You know, all those cross...
The Don Zabo contest. Yeah.
Like, okay, you should... You know, I remember, like, Chris Miller could surf and skate. You know, like a double threat, you know? And then he also snowboards, right? So...
No, we did. We actually did one of those in my backyard once. It was great. And Kyle Boothman won. He surfed and skated better than anybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, I just got back from Bend, Oregon, and there's a wave there.
Yeah.
And there's a surf culture on the river there.
Right.
There's shapers that shape boards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just so interesting. And you're right. Like, I feel like the surf industries can create these hubs for the future to expand their growth.
Yeah. I mean, and they have to embrace it. You know, surfing has been very narrow-minded. Like, oh, you got straps on. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like Garrett McNamara. Nope, we don't like that guy. Oh, sorry. No.
Yeah.
Laird can't take a picture of him. He's got to, you know, like, got to sign the waiver. So it does, like, yeah, surfing is going to, like, and look, everyone's thirsty for surfing still, you know, like I said, thousands of people out in the lineup. Something's going to give. We'll find something in the future for surfing that, like, obviously the publicity's out there on it, you know,
right.
It just hasn't translated eventually.
Hasn't connected, hasn't the popularity of all the people, hasn't connected with...
Yeah, like, look, every other commercial you see has got something about surfing on it or beach lifestyle, beach culture. You know, it is what it is now. And you just got to go, okay, look, surfing doesn't have as much money as it does, as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like surfing because you love it, keep doing it. If not, then...
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, we have a little store in Capitola Village.
Mm-hmm.
The people who come to the beach are so stoked.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the best day of their life. It's like Disneyland to go to the beach. And I remember being a kid. How awesome it was to be able to have a day at the beach, you know? And so I always feel like that's going to be important. And I also like right now in the surf industry, it's okay to ride anything.
Well, yeah.
You know,
which is
cool because it used to be you would be ostracized for riding some things.
Yeah, and Santa Cruz picked up on that late, like all the hipster stuff.
Right.
It wasn't up until just like recently, you know, that...
you could ride a square surfboard.
Like, yeah, like Darshan has been doing it forever. So he's an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Darshan's been riding this forever. But that has just caught on. You know, everyone's riding all that equipment. And you're seeing a lot of people ride, you know, like no fins, twin fins, single fins.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, there's a lot of dumbing it down, you know? But everyone's out there for a different reason.
Right. Well, I call it feeling groovy.
Yeah, it was
like the certain
some people are out
style.
There for the glide, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some people just want to look good, and I know that because
their hands
are
looking
style.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, let's take it back. That's a trait of Adam. You're surfing. Your hands were always in the right spot.
Well, I was very consciously aware.
You mean that was your?
I wasn't even aware of it before I was consciously aware. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's trying to copy Tom Kerr or Shane Horan or Mark Richards, right?
So. Right. Well, I would always say, and I don't want to blow you up too much, but I think Adam had one of the best cutbacks in Santa Cruz history.
Nice of you.
I can barely do one now. Well, but I will say that I just feel like your front side roundhouse was just a thing of beauty.
Well, if you watch a lot of the pros, too, you see that they had one maneuver that they were able to score, like even not to put myself in their But look at how Parco or McFanning, they just had a good rap.
You right. Know? Uh-huh. Yeah, and on rail. And pushing hard.
Yeah,
and
so I got to, yeah, I like that type of surfing. Yeah. Richard Cram style surfing. Yeah.
Right, and then you would come out of that and be right back on rail again. Yeah, and then whoop, next, and that yeah. was, I think, the key to your success.
Has he seen you enough, TC?
Absolutely, we'll do it right now.
What, well, AARP?
No.
Not
yet.
We have two questions for us.
I like the two questions. The first question we're going to ask you tonight, Adam, is what was your favorite decade and why?
Favorite decade. It's got to be the 80s for me. And it's very, it's like a deja vu. I hear songs to this day, you know, like if, yeah, the 80s. The straight, that whole era to me really, you know, the music, the surfing, the characters that were involved, sort of, I like that block of time. It was very influential.
And that's a very common time to hear because it was such a pure time to be in Santa Cruz. There was all the problems that we have here in this town. 90% of them didn't exist in the 80s. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I feel like that was the end of like pure Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but you know, I do look back and go, we ruined some guys. Like our group, we traveled like 5, 6, 8, 10 guys, right? Surfers, like the nightmare. So the older group goes, there goes the neighborhood. You know, these guys in pink suits, little surfboards, and fucking chirping. You know, and I was absorbed in it. I didn't realize what we were doing. You know, I just show up in photos and just, what? I go, well, there's people here. Yeah. Like, fuck, didn't even know. So now I see that. You know, I'm that guy outside. Here comes 6 kids, 2 filmers. On the beach, you know, and it's their time. You know, I just paddle down or I hoot, want somebody in a wave and get one wave, I'm out of there.
It's good that you know that because there's some people that get real grumpy.
Well, I remember, you know, I haven't forgotten, you know.
Well, and you were in the 80s, you were frothing.
Well, yeah, and all of our whole group was, you know.
You mean you would surf like 8 hours a day?
Yeah, we just surf all day.
Yeah, it was insane. Okay,
that was one question.
On top of that, the next one, Neil, give it to him.
Give us your favorite day surfing that you've ever had.
My favorite day of surfing. Yeah. When I'm winning the Coldwater Classic. I mean, if it's competition.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever you choose.
No, fuck. Any day I get to go surfing.
What year was it? What year did you win Coldwater?
In the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much was that? That was a pretty good payout that day. $5,000 or something?
What'd you get? 4 or 5 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Did he spend it all that night?
I mean, some of it.
He pull a flea?
No. But I've been to a couple of fleas parties. He was he'd throw a heater.
Yeah, you know, Flea was famous for ruining all of his winnings.
Yeah, just rent a room at the Dream Inn and
throw
just
the furniture
take it
out
down.
The window. Those are some scary times.
I think I was just thinking about what you're saying about certain... The first days I got to surf with my daughters, I think, were the most gratifying. After doing it for myself, that's the best time. Yeah. You know,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun, and just surfing with kids, you know.
And then I was going to ask you, is there anyone that you want to thank for helping you out, or people that?
No, I got all kinds of them. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of them that you want to just give a shout out to.
Yeah, Maya Negre, my mom, Jeannie Pifferini. Alistair Kraft, you know, the people that put up with me, my kids, my neighbors, Richard, my mailman, you know, the people that deal with us every day. You know, I like to thank those people.
I saw Meyer Kraft the day that we were, a couple days ago. I was going to go up to her and say,
what happened?
Sorry. I got to. I just didn't say a word. I just said, hi, good morning. Glad to see you.
No, I want to thank, too, the people that have given me the, who did things for me. This guy, David McIntyre, did a lot of cool stuff for me. Doc Scott's done rad stuff for me. I was really stoked to work with Richard Novak, Randy French. Working with Pat O'Neill, learned a lot of stuff with those guys. I just feel pretty fortunate that I was able to, you know, be in Santa Cruz at this time, was able to meet all the, like, heavy, really iconic locals, you know, from the 70s and 80s, and was a part of a nice little group, and I had a great block of time, like you said, during the 80s and 90s, and now it's awesome being a little older and seeing what these kids are doing and surfing now. I just wish there was more future there for them, you know.
Barney's in your life.
Barney was one of my best buddies, you know. Mm-hmm. We were polar opposites, you know. And I miss him. I miss him a lot. You know, I miss Vince Collier, Barney. Like a lot of my best friends have passed away.
Yeah.
Well, you used to live with Wally. You lived at Walt's house.
Lived at Wally's. Yeah. all those guys. That would be a fun event to run. Not so much to a sad memorial event, but have like a bring back the Yanow No Chord Classic and have it like a memorial. So there is mm-hmm. like a day that we're, you know what, the Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of those.
Yeah.
Have a fun.
That'd be fun.
Celebrate the life of somebody. Yeah.
That would be fun. That'd be...
Well, as we get into our 50s, there's a lot of paddle outs, you know?
Too many of them, bro.
I've seen you at a lot of paddle outs.
A lot of paddle outs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when I see people nowadays, I was on the North Shore a couple weeks ago, and people are, like, really nice, you know? It's come to the point now where you see somebody you haven't seen for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like, dude,
good to see you.
What have you been doing? How you pulled this off? You know? And then they tell you some, like, normal stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah. This is being in your 50s isn't that bad. I mean, unless you're in a lot of pain or broke.
Right.
That's exactly. Really
way older than that.
Can I say a funny story about Adam?
Mm. Oh.
we went to Mike Cruteau. He passed away.
Yeah.
And we had his paddle out at the lane.
Oh, yeah.
And his son is named...
Titan.
Titan, yeah. So
he's a monster.
So Titan came out on our boat, and we had everybody around the boat, and we were going to dump the ashes, and Titan dumped them, and they landed on you.
On me.
Yeah.
I know.
I looked over, and Adam has he has raccoon eyes,
and
he's covered in Cruteau's ashes.
I see one right there.
There's one up there, yeah.
I remember him when he was with me when I jumped out of the plane, which is a fucking...
You were in a diaper, though.
I was in a diaper.
You were in a diaper.
Yeah.
You jumped out of a plane in a diaper.
Yeah.
Was it a bet or something?
It was, I think, for Santa Cruz Ways, they wouldn't be doing stupid... We did the roller skates on roller skates on surfing, and I hated heights. Getting up the ladder up here?
But Tyler was getting into that, right? And so he had so many jumps.
Have you jumping out of a plane? Fuck. No. Mm. Anyway, he talked me into it, and he... don't know why he was there.
I was there because he's like, hey, you might want to do this. And I went and saw the rickety plane. I'm like, no. The rickety plane had no sidewalls.
It was like this shit.
Sound like a
did you go up in it?
No,
I'm all like, oh, where are you guys going to... You're gonna land. I'll go over there.
That's too much.
You had a lady friend with you, if I remember correctly.
Lori Wallace was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You should do it again. We went right to that Mexican restaurant bar. It was
just tequilas. Margie's.
Oh man, well, that's crazy.
Well, guys, thanks a lot for having me, man.
Yeah, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, I
love you like a brother.
Yeah, TC.
Yeah, you know, you're such an asset to our community.
Oh, that's too kind.
Yeah, and I wish you the best in real estate. And so next month, everyone who's watching,
come check us out.
Yeah, and you'll get some business cards and start
handing them out. Tons of business cards between myself and Alistair.
Mm-hmm. We'll be crushing it up for the show.
And Maya's also going to get her.
She's doing it too.
I think she's just doing it to get me through it.
Right,
you know,
helping
one of
those
things like
she's really smart.
Yeah, she's really smart. You know what's. I'm testing a lot more than she is. I'm studying a lot more, and she can pick it up pretty quick.
Well, congrats to being engaged to Maya.
Wow,
that's awesome.
You unlock that?
I will. So as we sign off, everybody.
Yep.
Want to thank Tyler Fox for having us on Santa Cruz Waves.
Yeah, Tyler.
Neil, what number show was this?
9:36.
9:30 with the one and only Adam Apollo.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Good to have you here.
And that night, I do have the video of that night.
Just put a little slice of it in.
we'll live it in for me.
It was fun. We had a great night. Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Off Lip Radio Show. Good night.
Coming up.